I'm Carol Hills, and this is The World. I suspect you've seen the haunting photo of a small Syrian boy sitting bolt upright in an orange chair. He's caked in gray dust, except for a smear of blood down one side of his face. His name is Omran Dakhnish, and he's 5 years old. The photo and a related video were taken just after the boy and his family were pulled from the wreckage of their Aleppo apartment after a Syrian government or a Russian airstrike. The images were distributed by an activist network called the Aleppo Media Center, and they've gone viral. If you haven't seen them, you can find them at PRI.org. We called up Amr al-Azam to talk about the images and what's happening in Syria. Al-Azam is a member of the Syrian opposition and teaches at Shawnee State University in Ohio.
The international community, viewers, audiences are moved by images of children. I could remind you that last summer we were also moved by the picture of Alan, the Kurdish child that was drowned whilst trying to make that perilous crossing from Turkey to Greece. And that caused a huge amount of outpouring and grief, and people sort of became engaged. But unfortunately, this is temporary. As the shock and horror sort of moves on, a new atrocity takes place, or we have more interesting drama here in the United States with the upcoming elections, and we lose interest and we move on. And that is the reality of the situation in Syria, and particularly for the civilians that are being absolutely hammered at the city of Aleppo and the province of Idlib, for that matter.
Now, people see this photo, as they did Aylan Kurdi, the boy you mentioned who died trying to cross to Greece last year. And in the case of Aleppo, in case of this photo, I think a lot of people see it and they think, somehow we have to help. Humanitarian supplies must be getting in there to help these people. But to what degree are any humanitarian supplies getting in to help this embattled population in Aleppo?
Very little if you look at the opposition side. The regime side, it's a different situation altogether. Obviously, humanitarian aid, and I'm speaking here on from the official sort of channels, via United Nations, OCHA, that usually gets in. And even when there are problems getting it in by trucks, we've recently seen airdrops being made into besieging areas of the regime. The real problem is getting the aid to the area that are against the regime, that are held by the opposition, because any aid that has to be funneled through Syria has to come through the Syrian government, which is essentially the Syrian regime.
In these kinds of crises, can't the UN or some supranational group say, we're going to establish a corridor, we're going to get humanitarian supplies in there? Isn't there anything that can be done that can leap over the political barrier to get aid into a crisis situation like this?
Oh, absolutely. And there are plenty of precedents for that. And in fact, there are even UN National Security Council resolutions outstanding right now, insisting, demanding that aid be sent to these besieged areas on both the opposition side and the regime side. Unfortunately, you need the international will to enforce these resolutions, and that is where we are lacking. The regime essentially says, no, I'm not going to let it in, or not just bizarrely, but in a very sick way. Even when it does let aid in, often it lets aid that is totally irrelevant. So instead of, I remember when they first started to drive some of these convoys into the besieged areas of the Ghouta around Damascus, instead of letting in the desperately needed baby formula, medicines, food, etc., they let in, the trucks were open and all they had in was, condoms.
What group was sending condoms to Damascus?
When these trucks are loaded up, the government, the Syrian government, comes along and says, right, we don't want to allow any of these objects. So they take all the items out, and the only items they left in were these packets of condoms and a couple of other useless items.
What about airdrops? How come an aid group or some UN group can't come right over eastern Aleppo and drop stuff in? What prevents that?
Technically, again, you can. Remember, Aleppo is an urban center, is a massive urban center. So you're going to have to figure out how you drop aid into an urban center like Aleppo. But the real problem and the real impediment to dropping any aid is the fact that the regime, and more importantly, the Russians who control the airspace around Aleppo, will not allow that to happen.
My final question, people hear this interview, they hear all this news out of Aleppo, they see this photo of this boy, and they're like, we want to do something. Is there anything we can possibly do to help the people trapped in eastern Aleppo?
At the very least, we can try and essentially advocate or push for the international community, and in particular here I'm thinking of the United States government, of the Obama administration, to take assertive action to force the regime and the Russians to allow this aid through. But, you know, unfortunately, this has not been forthcoming. And we can only hope that maybe a new administration, be it Clinton or whoever, will take a different approach to dealing with the Syrian regime and the Russians.
Amr al-Azam is a member of the Syrian opposition. He teaches Middle East history at Shawnee State University in Portsmouth, Ohio. Thanks for being with us, Amr.
Thank you.